I'm speaking today with James Rodriguez, a candidate for City Council District I. James, question I start everybody off with is, why are you running for this office?
First off, Charles. I wanted to say Cuff and Charles at the same time. So, thank you for coming down to the East End and welcome to our headquarters. It's been a great campaign experience thus far. We've been campaigning for the last 7 months, and the feedback in the community has been tremendous, and I'm really proud of the campaign we're running. I'm running because I feel I'm the best qualified candidate in this race, and I do want to serve my community. I want to use my experience at City Hall. I served as Chief of Staff to Councilmember Carol Alvarado for 4.5 years, and under that time, I gained an intimate knowledge of City Hall and the process, and so I want to use that experience to deliver services for the residents and constituents of District I.
As you said, you were Councilmember Alvarado's Chief of Staff. Obviously, people know about the situation in the Mayor Pro Tem's office when Councilmember Alvarado was serving as that. Do you have any connection to that?
Actually, no. I was in charge of the district council district office and didn't have any oversight responsibilities to the Mayor Pro Tem's office. And actually, when I go knock on doors and as I'm campaigning throughout the district, it really hasn't been an issue. It's an unfortunate situation. Anytime you rob taxpayer or steal taxpayers' money, and that's definitely not good for the city and for the system. And they are going to have their time in court. So again, I didn't have any responsibility over that office. Had I, though, we wouldn't be talking about this issue.
What would you have done differently that might have, perhaps prevented that situation from occurring?
Sure. In hindsight, it's easy to kind of look at where we need to make improvements, but I think vetting the people that come to work for us to make sure that we've properly vetted them and that we've really responded or reviewed their criteria and their experience for the job, and just being mindful of what they're doing in the office, that we need to go and make sure that the morale is good, but also to look at what they're doing, what they're working on. And as a chief of staff, you're privy to several different reports and documents that come from FNA, the Finance Administration Office, from Controller's Office, and you're allowed to see where you are in terms of your budget spending. So I would look and ask for those documents as well.
Okay. What else would you say you've learned as having served as a council member's chief of staff that would help you perform as a council member?
An intimate knowledge of the budget process. I think that's critical because you need to know where we're spending our money and where resources are being allocated to. Hands-on constituent services to make sure that we're responding to the needs of our constituents and that there's follow-up, that we're responding, that we're getting issues addressed. Understanding the capital improvement process as well, making sure that we have enough resources for future CIP capital improvement projects. That's a critical area, I think. And so having the experience with that facet of government is going to be critical to District I. And I think having that experience is also going to be beneficial to the residents of District I.
Okay. We're coming to the end of another hurricane season here. So far, so good. What's your assessment of the current state of the city's hurricane preparedness planning?
Sure. I think we've done a good job of reaching out with other governmental entities. We've been working with the state of Texas and the county to make sure that we do have plans in place. But I'm glad that we're able to talk about gas shortages and making sure that we have enough fuel in the city and throughout the evacuation routes, and making sure that we open up the contraflow lanes a little bit earlier. I think we need to look at sheltering as well for people that are outside the storm surge area, to look at utilizing government buildings, school buildings, anything paid with taxpayer money, to make sure that people can shelter for a little while I guess the storm is passing through. But and then also involving the oil refinery and executives and making sure they're on the same page with the state and with the local governments is also key as well.
Okay. As I understand it, the city has $45 million budgeted for drainage improvements in fiscal year 2008. Do you think this is a sufficient sum, and what do you think the city should be doing to mitigate flooding and improve drainage that it currently isn't doing?
Well, I'd like to see that $45 million all spent in District I, because I'm pretty sure we could find use. There's plenty of projects that warrant that type of money. I think we can even spend more. So, but I think the city does a good job of prioritizing projects. I'd like to see them focusing on District I, though, a little bit more. We have some of the oldest infrastructure in the district, in the city. And so I think we need to look at targeted, specific areas that are prone to flooding and make sure that those those areas are getting the resources and also the projects that we need. So I'm generally supportive of what the city's doing, but I just would like to see more of those resources coming into the inner city.
Council recently granted historic district designation to the old 6th Ward, which gives them unique powers to regulate development in that neighborhood. What's your opinion of this, and what's your opinion of the statement Mayor White made after that he didn't consider that to be a template for other neighborhoods to follow?
I'm supportive of the 6th Ward Historic Preservation Zone. I think we need to look at it by a case-by-case basis. We need to make sure that civic clubs are part of the process, and other stakeholders when we look at designating these sites. We have plenty of historical sites in District I, Freedmanstown, the Eastwood area, the Gus Wortham Golf Course, and Idlewood and Country Club. And so I think case-by-case, looking at each of these individually is what's needed. And I love preserving our history. I think it's important to preserve some of our older buildings, and I'm supportive of historic preservation. As far as the mayor's statement, I can't really comment on what he was thinking, but I would generally think that I would support making sure that we are implementing the plan and making sure that stakeholders are in agreement with whatever we do in terms of historic preservation in these zones.
Okay. Michael Bromwich, the former U.S. Justice Department Inspector General who investigated the problems with the HPD crime lab, recently testified before a State House committee that a special master should be appointed to determine what role faulty evidence analysis played in hundreds of convictions. Mayor White, Chief Hurt, and DA Chuck Rosenthal think a special master is not necessary. What's your opinion of this?
I'd like to know why they think it's not necessary, and I haven't been told why they think it's not necessary. So I'd like to hear an answer to that question before I formulate or take a position on the issue. It is an important issue. It's a serious issue, and you're talking about people's lives, and I want to make sure that we're answering the question as to why we don't need it.
Okay. Council is currently working on an ordinance, I think there was some news about it just today, that would require developers to either set aside a certain amount of park space when they're building residential development, or to pay a fee that would be used by the city to acquire land for park space. What's your opinion of this proposal? I mean, some people think that it doesn't, the developers think it's too expensive. Some of the neighborhood advocates think it doesn't go far enough. What's your opinion of this?
Sure, it is a complex issue. I think when you look at land prices in other areas of the city that are more expensive, well, it might be easier for or cheaper for a developer to just go ahead and pay the fee. I'm really concerned about making sure that that homes stay affordable and that we're not passing on extra cost to consumers. In District I, if you look at some of the old census numbers, we're about 46% in terms of people who own their own homes and about 54% who rent in District I. So I'd like to see those home ownership numbers come up and the rentals come down. And I think adding an extra cost to buying a home is really not good for this district.
Okay. Metro is about to make a final decision on the route for the university's rail line. Where would you like to see that line go, and what's your opinion of the process they use to determine where it would go?
Sure. I'm real interested to see the comments. I know people were able to, or Monday was the last day for comments on the draft EIS, environmental impact statement. So I'm very interested to see what the comments are and what people, what's on their mind, what are they thinking, what's the community thinking in terms of where this line should go. I'm really also interested in the District I portion of this, and I want to make sure that the Third Ward area has input from stakeholders, that we're not, that we're actually working with them to discuss the line, and I want it to go by University of Houston. I also want it to come into the East End as well. And so I'm definitely interested in this rail line. And in terms of the process, I've attended many of the Metro meetings, and I think they've done a good job of reaching out to the stakeholders. However, there are some perceptions that Metro hasn't been on the up and up and upfront about what their intentions are. A lot of people in the East End feel like they voted on having light rail instead of BRT, bus rapid transit. And so there's some issues out there with the community that are still lingering. And so I hope to work with Metro and the community to address any type of issues or problems that may arise when we go forward with this line.
All right. Back in January, the Chronicle wrote an article that cast the race between you and your opponent, John Marone, as sort of a proxy battle between Councilmember Alvarado and County Commissioner Sylvia Garcia. What What's your opinion of that? How do you respond to that?
You know, we've been campaigning for 7 months, and I tell you what, this issue really hasn't come up when I'm talking to voters and I'm knocking on doors. People want to know about, I mean, their biggest concerns are crime, infrastructure, and cleaning up our air, and making sure they have a responsive member of council, or a responsive council member, I should say. They're used to a certain level of service out there. Councilmember Alvarado's been a tremendous advocate for District I and has been hands-on and has worked really hard to make sure that neighborhoods and community groups are working together and also have more of a voice at City Hall. So, you know, I don't really pay too much attention to that. I'm just focusing on talking about my experience and what I can do for the city and the residents of District I.
Okay. The city of Houston is supposed to redraw city council lines when the population exceeds 2.1 million. There's census data to suggest that we're already at that threshold. Mayor White says he wants to put that off until after the 2010 census. What's your opinion of that, and what kind of process do you want to see the city follow when the time does come to actually redraw the lines?
I agree with that. I think it's a cleaner process when we wait till after a census. So 2011 sounds like that would be the best time to institute this, because you look at all the information that you get with census. You get race, ethnicity, and other information that's useful in the redistricting process. We want to make sure that no one's voting rights are diluted and that we have equal representation and there's a fair and open process when we do redistricting. And I think right now, if we do it or pursue it any earlier, we're looking at estimates, and some of the things they use are water bills and new water hookups and new home permitting. And I just don't think that gives you an accurate representation of the population. So I'd like to wait till we have a census and we have that information in hand before we start the process. And just to add to that, you know, when I'm knocking on doors and talking to folks, no one's really in a hurry to add more bureaucracy or more government to the city of Houston. So I don't hear this overwhelming
Do you think we should be adding more district council members?
I think as when we have the numbers and per city charter, when we reach the population threshold, I believe it's 2.1 million and it's official, then yes, we definitely need to mandate make sure that we are listening to that mandate.
Okay. Council recently voted to abandon a one-block stretch of Bolsover in the Rice Village to a developer who will turn it into a pedestrian plaza as part of a mixed-use project. The Chronicle, during that time, wrote an editorial calling such an abandonment a poor public policy. What's your opinion of that?
I think, first of all, again, it's about community input and support. And if the civic club and the district council member are supportive of the project, if they've done their due diligence, if the developer has been at the table with the civic club discussing the issue and its plans and they've signed off on it, I would be generally supportive of that. And if it preserves the architectural history of the neighborhood, I would be more inclined to support that. We have an instance in District I where we have industry that is regulated by federal government. And just to give you an example, the Oak Farms Dairy over in the Eastwood area wanted to buy a portion of Sampson Street to make a compound and make the facility more secure because they distribute milk to school children as well. So in instances like that where it serves a homeland security issue, I would be supportive of that as well.
Okay.
And then making sure that they had the community support behind it as well.
Earthlink recently agreed to pay a $5 million penalty to the city for failing to meet deadlines in its contracted construction of a citywide Wi-Fi network. Do you think the original deal that the city made with Earthlink was a good one? And what do you think the city should do if Earthlink is ultimately unable to fulfill its obligations? In other words, do you think they should continue to pursue the Metro Wi-Fi idea?
It certainly is an ambitious project. I support Wi-Fi. We've been able to establish Wi-Fi clouds in the East End of the Melcher Library area, and that was just a great program because we partnered with a nonprofit, Technology for All, to get this off the ground, but it also gave access to laptops to some of the students that went through the project and the process. So I support initiatives like that. In terms of the Wi-Fi contract, I am a bit concerned that they haven't met certain requirements. And I know they did pay the city $5 million. That's better than losing the $5 million. But if they can't get the job done, I'd like to see this contract maybe go out for rebid and maybe looking at within our own city, I'm sure we have talented businesses and people here in the city that could put a package together that would serve our business interests in the city, the residents of the city of Houston. And so I am supportive of technology, but I definitely want to monitor this issue and make sure that these people are meeting the contract stipulations.
Okay. As you know, the city has installed a bunch of cameras at various intersections to catch people running red lights. What's your opinion of the program as it's been so far?
I support it. If it saves lives, I definitely support utilizing technology like red light cameras. I think the other part of that is that they change driver behavior, and so you don't have a whole lot of people running as many red lights as before from what I've been able to see and what I was seeing as the Chief of Staff and Councilmember Alvarado's office. However, I'd like to make sure the fees that we're collecting come back to the city and not or divvied up or taken away and given to the state. I'd like to see that money come back into public safety.
Well, given that the state has mandated where most of this money goes, how would you bring that about?
I think we need to work with our city lobby team and working with other elected officials or state representatives to look at exactly what our intentions are and where we need this money. We need to put more police officers on the street, and if we could use some of that money to do that, I think it's a win-win for the city and the state.
All right, James Rodriguez, thank you for talking to me today. Good luck in your race.
Charles, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me.
Thank you.